Blog Talk Radio. Alright, peace everybody, man. Good morning, early afternoon, man. Welcome to Ampute Law, the Street Gospel number 17. We're going to get into a little bit of these astro alignments as usual in the first half, man. A couple things going on, not too much out there in the sky. And then on the back half, man, of course, we're going to get into the soul loss, soul retrieval. Is it even possible? What is the human soul? Can you even lose the human soul? Can you lose pieces of the human soul? If so, how? And can you gain it back? All right, so that's some of the things that we're going to get into today. But first up, of course, man, visit the website, myastrologycoach.com, and click on the events tab. What's up right now? It's only one thing that's up right now, which is the Big Easy Magic Tour, which is the Spring Equinox in 2014, where we're going to travel down to New Orleans, spend the whole day in New Orleans, man. We check in on the hotel Friday. Saturday, we do all day in New Orleans. Sunday, I take you to a specific spot out there that deals with some old, very old, ancient energy, man. And spiritual significance of New Orleans is just very paramount that we understand what it is. And I think we saw a glimpse of it last year when Beyonce shut the lights out. You know what I mean? That was an ancestral world coming through. When you had the Ravens and the 49ers down there. And it was interesting because, remember, last Super Bowl, you know what the Raven represents. It's an omen in magic. And then, you know, we got Baltimore, and then you got the 49ers. And 49, we discovered, is the numerical value of Moab, M-O-A-B, which is a biblical character in the Bible, and land in the Bible. And if you notice, when you get into Moore science today, you will see that the Moors say that they are the descendants of Moab. They call themselves Moabites. So you have Baltimore, and you had the 49ers on the other side who was the Moabites. So really, what was really taking place is you got to learn how to be the referee. You're wearing the zebra stripes. You're black and you're white. You're Michael Jackson. You are Yaqub, in a sense, where you are the scientist who can manipulate your genetic structure and create anything in your reality. That's God. The whole story of Jacob in the Bible taking the specks out of these goats. All right, so it's a genetic thing that's taking place by one who has, obviously, star knowledge, all right, because that's what Jacob ultimately represents, all right? So New Orleans, we'll be there, man. It's going to be off the hook, man, especially that Saturday, man, just a day in New Orleans, man. Cemetery photography, what we call spirit photography. So check some things out. If I'm not mistaken, the way New Orleans is structured because of the Mississippi River, in the sea level, the so-called dead is stacked upon each other. So it's not regular plots of cemeteries. They're stacked on top of each other. And has been known, the city gets flooded, have been known to float up out of the graves. It's a very peculiar place. We identified this location geodetic-wise on a map of it being really important because it sits on the Mississippi River, which is 90 degrees west of the prime meridian, which anything sits on the Mississippi River is like sitting on the Nile River in Africa. Therefore, you had the Mississippi mound builders building these pyramid structures made out of the earth up and down the Mississippi River. So you got Memphis to the north, which is like Memphis in Egypt. You got Cairo, which is like Cairo, Illinois, which is like Cairo in Egypt. So you have these similar names of cities on the Western Hemisphere here mirroring identically to the cities in the East. So New Orleans sits there. Then, as I always say, if you leave New Orleans and you just travel straight east or west, depending which way you want to go there, and you never deviate not one bit to the north, not one bit to the south, you'll run smack dab into the pyramid complex with the Sphinx at Giza. So New Orleans is the only city that sits on the Mississippi River and the only city that also sits on the same latitude as the pyramid complex at Giza. So it's an influx of light, I always call it. I know that when you say new or A-U-R, or in Hebrew means light. And yeah, one thing about black culture is you can take words and you can give them a meaning, and that's with any culture, really. And any culture names or words, they mean different things according to the people's cultural understanding. So lean is just you bending something, lean with it, pop with it. So this is the place where new light bends. You come in here and you bend the light, so that's why the lights went off. So now on the spiritual angle, you have to come in and you have to do some work there, all right, to allow this new light to filter in. Because as we really ministered Jew last week, so diligently and cleverly proved that there's a group of people, you, who once you grab a firm understanding of the stars and you cast your intent within the heavens, that reality, your intent, your thought form, will manifest itself back down into this physical reality for the Hollywood stars, musicians, actors, and they start doing things that mirror your thoughts exactly. Case in point is we launched a website called resolution444.com, so it's resolution444.com. Where the basis of it is to form a joint chief of staff, where various brothers in the community, namely Sarasu and Seti, Ali Muhammad, Brother Polite, a New Covenant, New Black Panther Party, we can come together, the priesthood, we can come together and form a plan for Detroit, because Detroit is bankrupt, which makes it the perfect opportunity for you to buy. Properties are low as $60, $1, $1,200, you know. I mean, literally cheap. You can, some of them literally livable. You can buy lots really, really cheap. So we did a show, about two shows back in the archives. We talked about it. We actually obtained a property already there. So big shout out to Amirata Ram, where we actually looking. I'm going to update the site where we can start screening some brothers, because we have a duplex already in Detroit where we're really calling on some men to come out and let's get the ball rolling. Let's get started and building. And also, of course, we're not leaving the women out. That's impossible. If you know me, I have more women around me than a lot of people. A lot of these dudes' lectures be full of men. I don't roll that way. But so that's Resolution 444 in a nutshell. It's just an online petition where we ask that you, the people, sign it. So the people in leadership positions, myself included, so we can hold your word and make your word, make your intent bond, you know what I mean? That's what we the people want, to see collective leadership doing collective things and doing the right thing. And it don't take much. All it takes is really your support group, your supporters, which are the people, spread the word, you know, and if you're on radio, big shout out to Nota Ledge. Brother Paul was actually talking about Resolution 444 because it's interesting how we even got to 444 as the name, because the hockey arena in Detroit costs $444 million. If you're familiar with Nota Ledge or Brother Paul's work, you know that he's been talking about the Law 44 for eons, and every time you see that number was taking place. And we understand the science of four corners, for me in the square, the foundation, how you physically build something to make it stand in the physical reality. In the arena, it's going for $444 million. $444 million really is symbolically the numerical value of Damascus, which represents the city of the blood, because I know what down means, which is Aries, which means this is where you take charge. This is where the realm comes from. This is where you take your leadership position right here. I can go on and on because the Detroit Lion, and, you know, the Lions represent the Sphinx over in Giza, you know, and we in the age of Aquarius, which is polar opposite. It's Leo is reigning right now. So you see Barack Obama, the 44th president, who is a Leo. There's all these spiritual parallels that are there that is telling us that, yo, we need to go there. And if you understand numbers in the Bible, 1 and 2, you would actually see that the tribe of Judah, which is the lion again, gets the biggest military camp. And it's really because this constellation, if I'm not mistaken, is the largest constellation in the sky. So the numbers are actually talking about a zodiacal mathematical formula that we need to tap into. All right. So many parallels, but it was interesting because as we released that, a week later, a petition came out. Minister Jew pointed out with Jay-Z was releasing some new clothing inside of the store called, I believe it's called Barney's, and a teenager was shopping there, and the staff discriminated basically and called the police on him because they didn't know if the money or the money that he had on his car was real, because they just didn't think he was old enough to possess that amount of money, which is only like $300-something on his car. And they created an online petition, you know, for Hove to, you know, for people to sign and tell Hove to back up, you know, check them. And it was a very interesting read, man, because as Prime Minister Jew got into that whole story, they interviewed somebody from Marcy Projects named Allah El, which now became the merging of two gods, Allah from the Islamic standpoint and El from the Hebrew standpoint. And this is why I love Moorish culture, because Moorish culture is African culture. And if Moorish culture did something that no other culture had done, it had went in and it kicked some ass, one. Two, it allowed for different philosophical and religious thoughts to survive. And you may have had to pay a tax on it, but it allowed for it to survive, which created that mirrors the United States. It created this land of golden opportunity on an intellectual, spiritual level, is what it did when the Moors were in power. All right. So you had all this rich spiritual tradition that was there and whatnot, and you can just see the emergence now when you see Allah El in the story today that's talking about Jay-Z, who was Hova, but who is clearly walking around recently with a 5% chain on, even though he's whole, which you can put to a Hebrew pantheon of God. He's rocking a chain that puts the Islamic fashion to it. But then when you go and you listen to this latest Magna Carta CD, he said, when he says something like, you know, y'all on devil-ish, but I be out in Morocco. You know, so he's pointing to, like, yo, I'm fellowshipping out here. That's what he literally said, I'm fellowshipping out here in Morocco. You know what I mean? And putting the pieces of the puzzle together for you, let alone how could he not, when he's rocking a chain, he's talking about food, clothing, shelter, equality. And at the same time, he has an artist on his roster by the name of Jay Electronica, who clearly has knowledge itself by coming up through the ranks of the Nation of Islam. All right, so this is a spiritual phenomenon where the emergence of God forces are coming together and creating a Voltron experience in our physical reality. But the way that we are going to have to make this a physical reality is by you, the people. It's going to take you, the people, the consensus of you, the people, and the priesthood to be the center point reference of what we call Mazaluf, which means zodiac, and I equate it to divine timing and understanding these cosmic archetypes that take place and when to interject that thought form into the jet stream so that physical reality can come back and mirror to us. And the physical stars that we see via Hollywood, you got to ask yourself why they call themselves stars, because they're mirroring a celestial phenomenon in space. And since you know how to tap into that celestial phenomenon in space, you can actually control them now, all right? Now, I don't want to get spooky with it in a sense because it's like, well, make Jay-Z go to the store and make him deposit $300 million inside of our fund. And that, you know what I mean? Because you have people who think like that. It works on a different level, not to say that that's not possible. But it works on a different level. And we have to understand that when you're a scientist, you're constantly in a lab understanding theory You think this is going to work, and you have to try it, do the practical aspect, and then when it works and you do it again, it works, you do it again, it works, it become a law. And sometimes some things don't work, and you got to scrap that. You can't be afraid to admit when that doesn't work. I am blessed to say that I don't have those kind of experiences, because I don't give predictions that don't come true. No, for real, seriously. I am. I thank the Creator for being blessed with a astral gift. But that's resolution 444 in a nutshell, and how we can tap into that. Hope it makes sense and whatnot. If not, then go back and you probably need to listen to it again. Just go back to the last episode number 16, and listen to Minister Jew's analysis on what took place with that online petition and how it mirrors exactly the work that you put in via Resolution 444. All right? And if you haven't heard of it, go to Resolution 444, which are the numbers, .com, read up on it, and please sign the online petition. All right? Minister Jew will be hosting a cognitive mapping tour, CMT. This will be in May of 2014. We have to put it up on a website where it's going to take you to Atlanta, and you're going to experience a different part of your brain. You're going to walk out your dreams, and you're going to go inside of a Federal Reserve Bank. You're going to see money, how it is pressed up. You're going to see it in the abundance, obviously. You're going to get the inner workings of that which is needed in order for you to acquire the things that you want. And then you're going to go off into a nice neighborhood, prestige neighborhood, where you can start to feel, smell, and touch an environment of where you will be living in the future. I want to purposely work on getting in contact with someone in one of those neighborhoods where you can physically probably do something in the backyard and eat and ground the energy out there. And then, of course, he's going to end that phenomenal tour with what's called a diamond meditation, some sacred sites in ATL or around the Atlanta area that we know, where you'd be able to go and finally ground that energy off, all right? And this is the truth. And what happened is, I'm going to tell you what it is. There's a movie called Now You See Me with Morgan Freeman. That was the spirit world way of producing the film, because spirit does this all the time. The ancestors and God is so marvelous that they sit back and they will conjure up a thought, and an idea will come into a screenwriter's mind, and they'll write a movie that's really talking about how you can tap into the spiritual phenomenon. You saw it with The Matrix, who was originally a sister, wrote it, right? And you see it all the time. So sometimes you have to understand that all of the movies are not necessarily talking about your downfall. Even when it can be perceived to be such, it's really talking about how you are in a situation and how you got to get up out of it, right? Or how you will attain something, most importantly. All right, so there's a spirit of film inside of that movie, Now You See Me, that really talks about the cognitive mapping tour on how you have to unlock some of these things. Unlock the, these things are goals that you have. You know, I always say if you want marble floor, then go to where they sell a piece of marble floor and get a sample of it and put it in your prosperity corner. Touch it, smell it, taste it. You know what I mean? Let it become a part of you. That's an alchemical process that's taking place. All right? It's no different than when one creates a vision board. All right? So be on the lookout, man. Just definitely be on the lookout for that. All right. If you haven't by now, we got something new, man. It's going to be called the Astral Tarot Network, which is a private network that I have on the astral side, but I'm adding a different dynamic to it, which is going to be called the Astral Tarot Network, where you'll be getting a 30-minute consultation with Keisha on a monthly basis for only $45 a month. All right, she's currently like at $60 a month. And you also going to get the astral reports that I send out to the private network. It's just, you know, you won't get a one-on-one consultation with me. But when I do group conference calls, usually I hold them at 12 noon now, you will be included in on that. And if you have any questions, you can always ask me about the personal reports you'll get from the astrological side. It's called a monthly detail report and a highlight report that people get, especially on a detailed report, because every time the moon moves, and she moves pretty darn fast, it produces a different phenomenon in your life, and it's one of the most, important body to track to understand rhythm of events, and I'm going to get into that a little later. All right, so be on the lookout for the Astral Tarot Network. So that'll be on the update soon. If you haven't by now, if you're not on the mailing list, join the mailing list, myastrologycoach.com, scroll down at the bottom, and you'll see the mailing list sign up. All right? And if you haven't, if you don't have the moon calendar created by myself and Niharu, definitely get that. It's called the Kadosi Shah, which translates to mean divine woman, and the self-activation workbook, which is composed by myself and Niharu as well. A lot of material that I put from my Astro One course to help you understand your own chart. So the only thing you have to do is, you know, learn the basics, which is in the beginning of the book, and then at the very end, it's called Your Planets and Houses. You answer questions about your own chart. You know, where's your sign? What degree is your sign? What house is your sign? What degree is Venus? What sign is Venus in? What house is Venus in? What does this house mean? What does Venus mean? So then you can get an understanding about yourself. That's why it's called the Self-Activation Workbook. All right? Now, let's get into something, man. Let's get into what is the sky looking like right now? Mars is currently at 11 Virgo in wide opposition to Neptune. Thank God that is finally about to wane off. Mars opposition Neptune will produce a potentially produce arguments that you don't know where they're coming from, and they're very deceptive arguments at that. And at the since Mars is in Virgo, Virgo deals with health. This could be some type of fiery poison type of event that takes place on the extreme worst case scenario. All right, extreme worst case scenario. I was mad because I also knew that this opposition, when I talked about it before, because Virgo has an element of learning to it because it's ruled by Mercury and whatnot, and I saw issues at a school, and that was that thing that popped off, and I believe it was outside of Vegas somewhere, and I didn't call it, but I definitely seen it with this particular aspect here. But nevertheless, Mars in the opposition to Virgo, this would be gone in about 3 days. When this is gone, there will be no more opposition in the sky for quite some time, of course, if we're dealing with the fast-moving moon. But minus the moon and her fast travel, she won't be, you know, we have no opposition with planets in the sky, and the coast is looking clear. All right? Got a cluster energy still in Scorpio. Today was a Scorpio eclipse, so happy solar eclipse that took place. It's all about the transformation done. Two radio shows back-to-back. You can go back in the archives and listen to the Scorpio eclipse and how that would affect you. All right, North Node is in Scorpio. Mercury in Scorpio. Mercury is still retrograde, so you still got to pump the brakes, still making sure you're seeing everything clearly. If you buy anything, traditional rule is just go ahead and get the warranty with it at this particular time. Somebody has to win. Wall Street don't close, nor do they lose in a retrograde. An excellent time for you just to go back and reassess your finances, all right? Saturn's there, of course. Saturn and Sun are real close. The Sun today is about 11 degrees Virgo. Saturn's at 13, so in about 2 days, the Saturn and Sun will have what we call a conjunction in the sky. And how could I put it? In a few days after that, because the brightness of the Sun can't see it, but what's really about to happen now, for real, is Saturn or Satan is about to become the bright and morning star. See, these planets switch positions, and what's happening is right now, when the Sun rises, Saturn is rising with it. All right, so since Saturn is 13 degrees and the Sun is 11 degrees. You won't be able to see it because the brightness of they're too close together and the brightness of the Sun blocks it out. So when the Sun, well, it looks like the Sun is going to pass Saturn, and let's just say when you add, let's just say 20 more days, or when the Sun go into Sagittarius, right? That means Saturn, since it moves so slow or slower than that, slower than the Sun's movement, technically it's the Earth's movement, but we'll just say Sun's movement for simple terminology. Saturn and Scorpio, that means Scorpio rises before the Sun and Sagittarius does. So that means Saturn is going to be your bright and morning star. So when you go outside in the morning before the sun rises, while it's still dark, and you see this bright star on the eastern horizon, that's Saturn. So any of you, especially you that's in the Saturn 360 program that the Prime Minister put together, here's a primal opportunity for you to wake up the Saturn and have your one-on-one conversation. Saturn is the lord of karma. Saturn is the lord of success. How you build things in this physical reality. Talks about our relationships with our father. Sometimes it's our mother. And this is just an excellent time for you to identify your Saturn placement, what it means to you, and get a grip on the planet. Getting a grip on the planet is making an observation on the planet. Making an observation of the planet is just not knowing what it is in your chart. How about you take your behind outside and look at it in the morning? Get some binoculars if you don't have a telescope and just stare at him or her, as she's called in Hebrew, it's feminine. All right, so Saturn will be the morning star right before the sun, which says, hey, we're going to have to deal with this first now. All right, so it's going about to be a shift, a changing of the guards is what's taking place. All right, what else is happening, man? Venus is in late Sagittarius. I'm going to put this out here. It's at 28 degrees Sag. Some say that the galactic center is about 26 degrees Sagittarius. I strongly disagree. That is not the galactic center. It may be a black hole there, but it is not the galactic center. I know that for a fact. It's not the galactic center. All right? The galactic center sits in Capricorn. All right? And I won't tell you how I got there, but I will tell you this. On what date is that? On 11/15, or any day from now up to 11/15, I need a star. I need a news report. If you see anything in the news that deals with blackbirds or ravens or anything, maybe somebody from the Baltimore Ravens do something crazy, anything dealing with the blackbird or anything dealing with the raven specifically, by the 15th, please notify me ASAP. I mean immediately, all right? Because I'm looking at something here, and I just want to see if something's going to take place. All right, it's coming in the form of animals, so it's going to be something dealing with that. All right, what else we got out there, man? Oh, today Mars is actually at an inconjunct to Uranus, and I had put that down as the assassination marker because this is a very dangerous thing. But in about 4 days, he'd no longer be there. Uranus is currently at 9 degrees Aries. Mars is at 11 Virgo. That's approximately 150 degrees away, to be exact. It's like 148. So what's actually about to take place is Mars is about to move out of this tight orb where this rule will no longer apply, and that's not a good feeling. Now, I'm going to show you something because something happened. When we go back to November the 1st, all right, when we go to November the 1st, November the 1st, Mars was at 9 degrees Virgo, all right? So Uranus is at 9 degrees Aries. This is an exact 150. Uranus is in Aries. Mars is the lord of Aries. So it's kind of like, yo, what you doing in my house? I don't like that. We had a 150. I'm not feeling you in my house right now, right? So Uranus is already volatile. He's explosive. And so is Mars. Mars is explosive all the time. You know what I mean? Uranus is just say, listen, I just bring the revolution when all else has failed, and you know, I can't take it no more. Mars is about that conquest. I don't care. I'm coming to take it. Period. All day, every day. That's Mars, right? So it was at a tight 150 exactly. And on that same day, this is Friday, the same day, Uranus square Pluto. Exactly to the degree at 9 degrees 26 minutes, and that happened at 7:37 in the morning, East Coast time. Well, later that day, we had that LAX shooting where a man by the name of Paul, I'll let Minister Jew build on that because now here comes another biblical character coming in the story, putting some work in. You know, it was an incident out at the LAX airport, all right? So that's interesting that that day Uranus square Pluto exactly to the T. I'm going to tell you what this is really about, ladies and gentlemen. This is really about, and I don't want to sound spooky with it. Because I remember how I used to perceive these following words. Man, this is about God is getting sick and tired of the unjust rules of society. And when the planets align, it creates what we know as an influence. And a person feels this influence, but they have to consciously make a decision. In this particular case, Pluto and Capricorn represents government. So when you read the story, you hear the guy saying, hey, do you work for the TSA? Do you work for the TSA? He wanted to know who had government status before he was going to whack them. All right, that's Pluto and Cap. Classic Pluto and Capricorn. Uranus and Aries. Aries is what we say, conquest and weapons. All right? Weapons. So Uranus is that sudden rebellion that takes place. I'm going to say when Pluto moves up to 13 degrees in Capricorn, in the wee of 2014, potentially, we're going to see a wave of events that could really be the dismantling of government in itself, potentially. The United States does an excellent job at putting out fires, shall we say. But you can just see the wave of energy when these certain planets square off like this. All right. So anyway, that really made me want to go in on that whole thing. So be on the lookout for that because that's in the sky. Everybody can feel that. Uranus square Pluto, this is very dangerous. I definitely call this a part of the assassination marker. Again, Uranus represents sudden change and Pluto represents the end. So those two are very synonymous to me. To me, Pluto is like, since it's smaller than Uranus, Pluto is like this moon of Uranus that got off track and somehow flew past the orbit of Neptune. But they're very, very, very similar. Very similar. Very similar. They represent something that's going to come to an end. That status is going to change. Pluto and Capricorn represents the end of the government, right? Federal Reserve Bank was formed when Pluto was inside of Cancer. So now Pluto is in opposition. And I always say this, that before FDR came in, Franklin Delano Roosevelt came in and changed the gold standard. Everybody had the cash and the gold, and eventually we got on these greenback money. Uranus was in late Aries. He was not in Taurus. Taurus is the money. Uranus wasn't in Taurus when a country went through a financial change. Uranus is in Aries again. He's not quite at that mark by the degree of where it was when that change happened in the 30s. But best be assured that, hey, last time he was here, that was the nation, which became the world, because the United States became the world's most dominant player, right? So that imprint in space, when the United States switched, went through an alchemical process and said, we come off the gold and go to paper, still alchemy that's taking place, became a dominant player when Uranus in the sky was in Aries. Uranus received that imprint and said, okay, I just wanted to change something and make a new leader. That's Aries. I needed to make a new leader. Well, Uranus is going to come back. He's in the same constellation now. So what do he want to produce this go around? That is now up to you or what you're going to do to tap into this current of change because Aries is the leader. Okay? And Uranus rules the Aquarian age. All right? So it's very important that you understand that. All right? Man, where we at, man? That's really it on the astro report. The astro is real smooth, man, real smooth. Jupiter's in Cancer. Jupiter's about to retro. We went over that, too. So if you got anything in Cancer, anywhere, anything in Cancer from 10 to 20 degrees Cancer, you're about to get doubly blessed, triple blessed, because Jupiter it touched there at 10, it's at 20 now, it's going to retrograde back to 10 degrees, and then it's going to go up again. So you got like this triple play of Jupiter energy, man, that came for you. So if you got anything there, you really need to focus in on the Cancer energy in your chart, because this is going to be the most expansive time for you, one of the best expansive times for you that you'll ever have. Particularly if anybody, if your sun sign is Cancer, Jupiter on the sun, if you got Mars in Cancer, if you were born with Jupiter in Cancer, and if you were born with Venus, more of the personal planets, and even Saturn. I can put Saturn in the mix right there. It's not really stand for you. I wouldn't necessarily give it that for Uranus, Neptune, Pluto in Cancer. If you got those personal planets, more or less Jupiter there, Mars there, Venus there, especially Sun, Venus, and Jupiter. If you got that in Cancer and Moon, because Moon is at home in Cancer, Jupiter here is going to give you some of the best blessings that you ever had. So do not let anything or anyone slow you up at this particular time. No. You, Jupiter, the Santa Claus of the Zodiac, is coming to give you a gift, all right? And you are giving yourself the gift by making the decisions to do the work so you can receive, all right? The planets don't technically give us anything. Got to be clear on that, all right? What we at on time, man? We're 11:41 already. This is going to be an easy show. This is going to be really, really, really quick, and I got to do a favor for my web designer, so I definitely got to be off air by 1 o'clock. Where we at, man? 11:42. Let me get into this. Let me get into this human soul, this human soul aspect. All right. First, I want to thank you, the listener, because millions of people, and I mean this, man, millions of people will live their entire incarnation and never question the fabric of reality. They never ask the question to themselves. They never ask that question of what is the human soul. And I want to read a piece of the Zohar that I share. Every morning I wake up and I share, I call it the daily Zohar reading, where I share just an excerpt from the Zohar, and then I add my commentary to it as well from my experience or what I think. Oftentimes, I try to draw from my own experience so you can see it, all right? Today's Zohar reading was titled, Who Shall Ascend Into the Mountain of Hashem? Hashem means the name. When you see the Hebrew letter He, the letter H, in front of a word, it could really be saying the. So Shem, as in Noah's son, Shem means name, and the high priest knew that the divine name of the Creator was so divine and powerful that it is said that the high priest will only utter the divine name once a year. And so the Creator is referred to as Hashem, which just means the name. Like, you can't even define the Creator, because once you do that, you're the boxy man, and you can't do that, right? So it's Hashem. So, who will ascend into the mountain of Hashem? So it says, when an individual strives to understand his purpose in life and seeks the truth for the Creator, his soul will seek to reunite with the light of the Creator upon leaving this world. Unfortunately, the vast majority of mankind's journeys through this physical world without any inkling of his true purpose or understanding as to the meaning of his existence. Consequently, a man who directs no effort towards spiritual enlightenment and blindly pursues the material world will automatically seek the path of negativity when it departs its physical existence. The path of the spiritual world mirror the pathways we forge in the physical world. It is a well-known Kabbalistic principle that states, the more we seek to comprehend our purpose and the reality of the Creator, the more spiritual light we receive. All right? Zohar. So I found that interesting, man, because I know as we get into this journey, and that's the truth. Like, if I do a radio show about, you know, some drama in the world, you know, something blew up or something, it's packed. But when I start talking specifically on souls, we start to filter out a whole lot of things, especially men. All right? You know what I mean? So it's just it's a weird phenomenon that takes place, man. So anyway, I commend you, because I'm going to tell you something. The mere fact that you are a human, it speaks volumes to your own evolution, as you could have been a microorganism. You could have been that one electron in the atom. You could be that one ion. Somehow, you evolved your soul to the point of human incarnation. And to me, that is really a wonderful experience when you think about that. You could have been an octopus. You could have been a speck of dirt. You could have been that little fruit fly that's flying around your banana. But somehow, you evolved to a point of a human being. So don't stop at this particular point, because you've already come a long way in your own evolution. All right? The human being, though, is not the apex of the divine world. He or she must work to attain a heavenly status while on physical earth. And this heavenly status is determined by his will, his or her will, intellect, and most importantly, what the Prime Minister loves to key on, morals, deeds, and good character. And we're talking about the good character in which you can wholeheartedly place your trust in that person in the most tragic of times, really being a person of reputable character where you know you can count on this person in that emergency crisis. All right? It goes a long way. All right? There are thousands of speculations of what the human soul is, but I'm going to tell y'all, ladies and gentlemen, very few people have pictures of a human soul, and I have been blessed to be one of those rare few people, all right? And understanding that, I have to give a thanks to my bot. Bot means daughter in Hebrew. My daughter, Leah, she came in this world only to depart the physical world, by the way, of an emergency C-section. It had to be performed because earlier that day, my wife had went to get a checkup. And the doctors noticed that there was only one heartbeat, and there was supposed to be two because we had twins. So the truth of the matter is, my wife didn't even feel Aaliyah moving the day prior. So for me, it's safe to say that Aaliyah had already ascended at least 48 prior to the emergency C-section. But in the aftermath of that, the emergency C-section, as I held her physical shell, her soul was next to the body in the picture. All right? So you got to think about that. That's what she came here to do. She had already departed 48 hours prior to the emergency C-section. All right? So for her picture to show up, or her soul to show up in that picture, and I put it, if you haven't seen it, it's on the website, myastrologycoach.com. Click on the blog and just scroll down. It's like one of the last two blogs that I put. And you can see this bright light that looked like a sun, all right? So it was just a phenomenal experience. I always talk about it. But for the first time, about a week ago, 2 weeks tops, was the first time that I shared it publicly via Facebook and on the blog, because I have pictures of holding the physical shell with the soul in the picture. And the eve of their birthday, I actually was in the bed, man. I heard someone walking down the hallway creeping, and the floors was just creaking, right? The floors creaking, and I'm laying in the bed, and I'm like, you know, I'm thinking it's my son or my daughter, so I say, you know, which one of that is y'all? And I ain't hearing nothing, right? So I just knew it was my daughter. She done peed in the bed, and she creeping off to the bathroom. That's what she doing. So I ain't hearing nothing. So I hear her creeping again. So I lean off the bed. It's 2:30 in the morning. I lean off the bed in a push-up position, and I'm just looking down the hallway, and I don't hear nothing. And I say it again, like, which one of y'all is that? And I don't hear anything, and the creaking stopped. So I lay back in the bed. I hear the creaking again. I roll off the bed real fast in a push-up position. I'm looking down the hallway. So every time I do it, it stops. And I said, all right. So I lay back in the bed, hear it again. So I lean back again one more time. And then I hear the creaking noise actually pass me, and it went to a corner that was now became on my right-hand side. And it's interesting because I have an altar in that corner. That's technically in feng shui, that particular corner that I have as a prosperity corner. And that got, you know, I got a statue of Buddha on that particular altar, and I have ancestors. The only altar that I got is the only place in the house where ancestral money is, right? And my daughter got a shopping cart that was right there in front that she left in my room playing around. And the noise, the creaking noise, went over there to the shopping cart, right? And then I said, okay. Well, I acknowledged her, and I just thanked her for doing the work that she does for us on her side, and told her I love her as well. And the creaking noise went back down the hallway and left. So the key, though, was for me to ask my daughter, because my daughter got a grand water tron. So that means that cosmic DNA-wise, because y'all know I say it all the time, I have a grand fire tron. But I passed the grand tron to my daughter. But she don't have it in the same element. She got energy in the water element, all right? So the dream world, intuition, that kind of thing, that's her lane. She's the dreamer. She's the one that tell me about the dream. So I couldn't wait to wake her, like for her to awake and tell me what she dreamed. So as soon as she woke up, I was just like, hey, what you dreaming about? And she told me she dreamed about the first dream she had told me about, she had told me about how she was with her sister, and it was at a store, and she wanted, and it was at a candy store to be specifically. And I said, well, wow, that's interesting, because probably about 2 weeks prior to that, you know, we had I'm doing my little, you know, getting my little knickknacks for the house, and my daughter would be like, Sister Leah wants some M&Ms. Like, okay, so I got some M&Ms, and I had some M&Ms out for a while. Peanut M&Ms, I had them out for a minute on an altar dedicated to my daughter. And I found that interesting that she said she had a dream that morning when I heard her sister there. She had a dream about her sister wanting some candy and whatnot. And then she went to the altar as well. So I said, okay, cool. Bet I know who it is. Well, when the birthday came around, and I share this picture, and it'd probably be years before I share it because it's something that I have to do to evolve. When the birthday came around, I had my son, because my son liked to take pictures. I had him take a picture with me, my wife, my oldest son, who was Scorpio, and my daughter. And my son snapped a picture. And you see nothing but all this orange energy that's in the room. And it only blocked out one person, which was my daughter. So at first I thought maybe my son had his finger in the way or something. But when I zoom in, I can actually see through the light and see my daughter's face. So that wasn't no physical thing. And then I did put one of the pictures up on Facebook for me alone when I had a picture of me. I had my birds, my two parakeet birds, on my finger. And when he snapped the picture, that presence, that angelic presence was there again. All right? So well, on the birthday, that energy was there. And I said, wow, it covered her up. Now, I can show some pictures of my daughter when she was younger, that if I took a picture of her, the image will split and it would be two faces of her in the picture. And one of them was real interesting because her teeth was showing in one of the pictures, and the other picture, her teeth wasn't showing. And it only took one picture. You see what I'm saying? I got to find that. It's on my hard drive. I got to find that. So I have you know, again, and this goes into understanding your name. When you understand the power of your name, you create your name is has a destiny. And when you change your name or add anything to your name, same thing, you are changing the course of your destiny. And this was talked about in some of my daily Zohar postings that I had put up. So check it out on the website, on the blog, all right? So anyway, moving on. The human soul is real. All right, and every night we get a glimpse into the soul reality because guess what? You dream. Some of you dream. Every one of y'all don't dream. Some of y'all got some problems. But and I say that in a good way. We enter into another realm where time and space are one. It's like it don't even exist. One minute you're doing this, the next minute you're doing that. So you get a glimpse into the soul reality every single night, every night. All right. The human soul is a light, man. And I'm fortunate. Like I said, I have proof. The Zohar teaches us that the human soul has 613 limbs. But see, this number represents the 613 commandments of the Torah, because it said that the human body has 613 bones, or some say 613 organs. So technically, you're telling me that there's one commandment for each organ or function of the body. This is how wise the priests were, all right? They did everything in correspondence to your body. So just like there are 24 hours in a day, right, there are 24 human ribs, which is talked about in what? The first creation, dealing with Kava, which is Eve, right? So now technically we get one rib for each hour. So every hour of sunlight or just 1 hour period, one rib is particularly being activated every hour. You got to be subtle enough to feel that. And just like there's 24 hours in a day and these 24 ribs, guess what? There's 24 vertebrae in the human spine, which is ruled by what? Leo, which is ruled by what? The sun. And the sun is what? The sun is our physical calculator of time. This is why you can get a sundial and tell time. So we can tell time based off the sun, and we can tell time based off the moon. But if we're telling time based off the moon because it said that the moon don't have its own light, it's only reflecting the light of the sun, truthfully, we're still telling time by the sun. So this 24 and these commandments and things, the 613 commandments, it's all this time reference, and it's talking about ultimately how it is dealing with your body. Now, the truth is of the matter is, as we just saw, creation or the Bible, Torah, is really talking about solar biology. And that's what Dr. Malachi New York used to call astrology, solar biology. And that's what the Bible is talking about. Clearly, we just pointed out. All right? So each organ or bone has its own intelligence. The word for intelligence in Hebrew is called shekel. And I saw this play out in the movie, with Scary Movie 4 with Shaquille O'Neal. And Dr. Phil was in the room in the dark, and I explained it several times. But Shekel means intelligence, and Shekel wore number 32. So he was the 32 paths of light, the 32 intelligence. So therefore, Dr. Phil couldn't turn on the light, and the light only came on when Shaq heard a voice, and Shaq was like, Kobe? And then when you add up Kobe in Hebrew, you see that Kobe equals 28, and 28 is a word for power. So when Shaq or the Shekel, the 32 intelligence, said the word of power, Kobe, the lights came on. And that's why Dr. Phil was in the dark and said, I'm not a doctor. I just tell people to get real. I'm an electrician. How are you going to be an electrician when you couldn't even turn on a light? The light didn't come on until the giant Shaq. This was Gog and Magog, assigned to Shaq. The giant had to say the word of power to turn the light on. See, again, that's the spirit of film showing you how intelligent and divine you are working through the Shekinah, or working through Shekel, the Shekinah, the feminine force of God, to show you in the material reality of where we live, but the Shekel representing the intelligence of Shaq, okay? So it's very important, man. It's important that we look at our entire body and take the time out to acknowledge the bodily function. It's very important to do that. This is, Mantak Chia does this in his Qigong work, where you do the smiley face, where you smile at your organs and see your organs smiling back. It's very important that you do that, because if you don't take the time out to really concentrate on specific bodily functions, you can't automatically assume that your body know that you love you, that you love them, the organs. They don't know. They have their own intelligence. You're not telling your liver to process the things right now. You're not telling your kidneys to process the things. You're not even feeling this phenomenon take place inside of your body. It's doing it automatically. It's the God intelligence inside of you, right? So sometimes you have to take the time out to consciously direct your intent to those specific organs and just say, I love you, and smile at them. Very effective in this Qigong. Again, you can get all that stuff from Mantak Chia. And I know Qigong, and it works, because I can get on the aura machine right now, and my chakra test will probably fail. But if I do Qigong and for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and I get on that aura machine, I'm going to pass. And then when I do Qigong every morning, I don't never ever have to fail the aura test again. I never fail the aura test particularly. But the chakra test, I don't have to sell it. All right? So it's about how to tap into the energy field, and this is what we got to get into. Very important that we get into this energy field. All right? Where we at here? It is so, when a human being experiences trauma to the organ, so we're going to get into this because we want to talk about soul loss. When a human being experiences trauma to an organ and even suffers the loss of a limb or organ, that person has now suffered soul loss. So how could he not? How could she not, when the intelligence of the body has been injured and is no longer functioning and has been removed? If you lose a part of your body, you have suffered soul loss. How could you not? When that function is no longer there and it made up a whole, let's just say the whole is 613, and you lose one of those functions, you lost a fragment, or you lost a piece of the soul, all right? So the most severe way that one will lose a portion of their soul will be from some form of injury that requires surgery, but there's another trauma that the human must concern him or herself with. And that is what I will call the physical / emotional trauma. The physical trauma here that I'm speaking about, y'all, is the physical violence and that of what we call sexual assault, namely rape. All right? Now, it is at this time that the human emotion, the human soul, is so charged up, so afraid, and rejects the incoming experience. All right? Rejects the incoming experience, that the human soul will leave the body, but the person will still be alive. See, this is explained when the person does what? When they black out, or when a person just blinks out and as if they have checked out of this physical reality, but yet they're still alive. That is the human soul that says, oh, no, I cannot undergo this particular event that's about to occur. So I got to get up out of here. I'm out. All right? So upon coming back into the body, as far as consciousness is concerned, because part of the soul can never come back, but your consciousness can, all right? As far as the consciousness is concerned, the human soul and the peace, as I said, thereof may be forever gone, because the person is rightfully scarred for life, all right? Similar situations will trigger this painful event, and the person will do what? They'll snap and draw a flashback, which is often triggered by words, people, gestures, and even smell can trigger this soul loss phenomenon. Now, I rode with a sister before when we was in Atlanta back in 2010. She had been through an extremely, very brutal situation where she was shot in the head and left for dead and survived, all right? And we was rolling. She didn't know where we was going. And, man, she snapped out. I mean, snapped out. Where y'all taking me? You better tell me right, mother effing now. What's going? Like, snapped out. Why? Because the scenery triggered a part where her soul had became damaged and lost and took her to a snap-out moment. All right? It's very important that we understand this stuff. This stuff happened. All right? What we also have to understand is these events leave a cosmic residue in the darkness of space, and all it does is await a new planetary position to occupy that exact space and thus trigger the physical event to reoccur. But the only way anything can occur in our physical reality is by choice. All right? This is why it's important to understand rhythm. So I'm going to talk a little about what's called the emotional plane. The emotional plane is a sphere of space that circles the earth. and it is only 239,000 miles from Earth. Now, I want to be clear. I am not saying that you must travel 239,000 miles to enter that sphere. It is measured from where you're at right now, where me and you are at right now, and is extended outward to 239,000 miles. The air in front of you is of the emotional plane. The distance from here to your corner store, I don't care if you go on top of the Sears Tower, anything from here, your being, when I say here, point at yourself, point at your navel, which is your center point reference. You are the United States Navy, the navel. You are the navel, okay? You are the center point reference. This is why the Navy tracks time, because your navel or the cutting of the cord is the one that tracks time and denotes your incarnation. So you are the centerpiece reference. You are the tassel on the fez, all right? So you are the center point reference from your navel in any direction you want to go to 239,000 miles, specifically in the Earth sphere, and let's just, what's perceived to be upward, which is really outward, leaving the Earth. So let's look like we're leaving the Earth. Well, once we get past that plane right there, which is the moon, we now get outside of the plane of emotion. All right? Now, I'm going to say this. The emotional plane is the sphere of causation. It is where all thoughts are filtered before you make a decision. I'm going to say that again. The emotional plane is the sphere of causation. It is where all thoughts are filtered before you make a decision. Next, let's look at this. This space does not only filter our thoughts, it also records your actions and responses. I think I need to say that again. This space does not only filter thoughts, it also records your actions and responses. It is said that the moon is a satellite. We keep saying it. A satellite receives and transmits data. So it receives and sends. What is it receiving? It is receiving your actions. Okay? So what it's doing. Now, see, look at it. If the moon controls the tides of the ocean, and it does, right, and you own these waves and you surf in these waves, man, that splash phenomena or that wave theory, right, because sound travels on a wave, light travels on a wave, this wave, if you touch that wave and you are a wave yourself, heartbeat, brain wave, brush your hair, put the DAX on it, put the sporting waves in it, you are a wave yourself, then you're connected to the wave, and if you're connected to the wave, then the wave can actually, you can send that wave back to the moon. Just put it in technical terms, you can send a satellite to the moon, you can send an L-cross missile to the moon if you want to. So you can affect the heavenly body in the sky. You can do that. All right? Now, this fifth law was called rhythm. And this plane is the first influence over the soul. Talking about the moon. Kabbalistically, we call this sphere Yesod. Pull out your Kabbalah. We call it Yesod, which translates to mean foundation, and it's made up of four letters. But the last three letters, S-O-D, because it's spelled Y, it looked like it's spelled Y-E-S-O-D. So the S-O-D, Sod, Sod means secret. So the secret is in understanding the moon and how she relates to our soul. Why? Because the biggest secret is, and see, the Kabbalah shows us that we have 10 planetary spheres called Sephiroth on the Tree of Life. And I always say we live in the base 10 reality mathematically. The whole 10 pennies is a dime, 10 dimes is a dollar, 10 $1 is $10, $10 is $100, 10 $100 is $1,000. We live in the base 10 system. So that is the whole grid that the Kabbalists want us to understand. These 10 planets in astrology that you use is a base 10 system that you use in your mathematical counting, in your standards of money. This is what you use. All right? So this is a universal principle, mathematics, all right? So what's the secret, though? Because if you understand that Malkuth is the 10th sphere, and the sphere immediately above it on the tree is that of Yesod, the foundation, which really means secret, what is the secret of Yesod? Well, the secret of Yesod is understanding the distance, which is 239,000 miles. Well, then what is 239? Because we understand we can use a base 10 system. We see 239, 0, 0, 0. We don't have to use the 0. We can use 239. 239 is the numerical value for the word, or in this case, the angel of death whose name is Azarel. So who do you think controls the emotional plane then? Oh, we're going to get into this. When you also look at the number 239, you see 239 is a word Barzel, which is the Hebrew word for iron, and iron is the metal that is ruled by Mars. Mars is the ancient ruler of Scorpio, which is the planet of death. So now we got 239 is the angel of death, but it's also the metal that rules, or the metal that is ruled by the planet, who in the mythology is the soldier or god of warfare. All right? Who rules the sign Scorpio, which is death, accidents, and all violent affairs, including rape. All right? That's Mars. All right? This is why we put out the Galactic Activation Medallion that had the Mars energy on it, to show you how to tap into it from a different dynamic. Because you got to ask yourself, why did God create it? You see what I'm saying? And when we did that, the spirit of film came right behind us, and they released that movie called, I think it was called, I want to say it was called John Carter, when dude was bouncing around, and he went to, like, he was in Arizona, and he bounced out of Arizona and went over to Mars. So spirit of film came behind us when we put the medallion out and say, yep, they own it, because it said that the Grand Canyon is actually a part, they say that Mars is really a part of the Earth that blew up. The moon at that particular time was a part of the Earth, all right? And then some implosion had happened where the Earth dropped down a little bit in this orb, and then the moon shot up. All of this water that was on it tilted back down to the Earth. Therefore, it don't have this thing, and Mars was created in this catastrophic event as well, all right? Whether true or not, one thing I can tell you, as we just saw, what did I say? I said on the 1st of November, Mars was at an exact 150, and I'm on the record of saying that is the most vicious angle in the sky, because Trayvon Martin was murdered when Mars was at a 150 to his son. When Mars in the sky on November the 1st was at a 150 to was at a 150 to Uranus, we saw this LAX accident just to pop off. All right, exact mathematics. All right, to the degree. This is no coincidence. This is cosmic law. All right, now. For one to overcome the negativity of this immediate region, you gotta learn how to pray. I'm serious about this, and you gotta learn, and then you gotta learn correct God names too, because certain gods rule over certain things. All right, so I'm not gonna just tell you about this dangerous emotional sphere that exists without giving you the corresponding principle, and I'm gonna show you how wise the priests were. One thing is you have to call on Shaddai El Kai, which translates to the mighty living God, and his Malachim. Malachim does simply mean angel, Archangel Gabriel. So Shaddai El Kai, Archangel Gabriel, in the time of your emotional distress. Prayer comes from the heart. Say what you say. But in the time of your emotional distress, trust me, I'm telling you, it is Shaddai El Kai and it's Malachim Gabriel. All right? Now, the plane of the soul that I'm talking about, y'all, is called the Nefesh, and this is the lowest level of the soul. All right? And it's made up of three Hebrew words, Nun, Pe, which is the letter P, and Shin, which is S-H, Nefesh, where the P can sound like a S. So Nefesh, three letters, N-P-S, okay? Now, let's look at this. Nun equals Scorpio. We're talking about the Scorpio eclipse today, ladies and gentlemen. It's no coincidence. Pe is Mars. Mars rules Scorpio. Shin is fire. Wow. Now, why would they give us that? Now, look at the tarot correspondence for the soul. Because now we know that each pathway or each Hebrew letter has a corresponding tarot card. So Nun, Scorpio, is the death card. Pe, Mars, is the tower card, which symbolizes destruction. And Shin, fire, is the judgment card. Now, if somebody laid a three-card spread for you and you got the death card, the tower card, and the judgment card, that is the worst three-card spread you can possibly give somebody. And I know it. That is absolutely the worst three cards in combination. It ain't the second worst. It ain't the third. It is the worst. The death card, the tower card, and judgment? Why did the priest say this is the first level of your soul? Now look at that. But see, I'm going to tell you something. When you understand the nefesh, because the priest is going to give you a correspondence on how to balance the energy out. All right? Nefesh equals 430 in gematria. So there's a word called Zadik Yesed Olam. What is that? Zadik Yesed Olam translates to mean the righteous is the foundation of the world. Now, look how they talk. See, in English, we would say the righteous is the foundation of the world, but they only use three words to express it. Zadik, which means righteous, Yesed, foundation, which is the moon, Olam means world. So they really just said righteous foundation world. But in English, it says the righteous is the foundation of the world. So usually, because I got a Mercury affliction real bad in my chart, I will forget letters when I'm typing stuff. But you got to get my point. It's not necessarily bad English. I'm from an ancient place. My daughter writes backwards, for real. Seriously, she writes the ancient way, literally. In English, she writes the ancient way. But I'm from another place. When you see, oh, he missed a word, that's bad grammar. I guess it is technically, but just get my point of where I'm going, because what I'm studying, they don't even talk the righteous as the foundation. They just say, righteous foundation world. You got to put it together. It's like in the beginning of the Bible, say, Bereshith bara Elohim. You translate it as in the beginning God created, and they literally said, beginning created God, is how they talk. All right? So they was on something else, and that's what I'm on. All right? So anyway, soul loss can also often occur within breakups, man. So divorce, and this also explains why a person needs time to regroup after such event. Now, think about this. Now, people often say, and a lot of us have been through this experience, what we say, it feels like I lost a piece of myself, or I feel like a piece of me is still there. Now, what piece is the person actually talking about? You're talking about, because you physically know you ain't there. Mentally, you could be there, but it's an aspect of your soul that is there. How could it not be? All right? So, you got to understand that. So, many of us have been through this. All right? So I'm telling you, you gotta really analyze what you are saying, most importantly, what you're feeling. All right? So another point that we have to be extremely aware of is, and Lord knows, this is me, and I'm going to talk about this aspect before I get, is children. All right? How we relate to the children, screaming at children, Lord forbid if you beat your children. But when a person, let alone a child, feels hurt by words or points or they come to the point of tears, unhappiness, and sadness, all of this is stress upon the child and the human soul. So if we constantly yell at the children or do things to make them hurt, man, we can potentially fragment their soul, crack their soul, and pieces of their soul can leave their body. There was a book that I was studying that talked about this, that a child lost their they lost pieces of their soul because the parents were just screaming at them all the time. And we can see how when you abuse children, what it does psychologically to a person. So let's not act like and be naive that think that it doesn't have an effect on the human soul, all right, because it does. Understand that nobody likes rejection no matter what. No matter how you slice it, nobody likes to feel rejected. So you got to be extremely careful when you're dealing with children. Now, what are the karma markers in your own chart to tell you that you're one of those people that you know you need to watch what you're doing? I'm one. I can admit it. I got Saturn and Leo. Now, there is a generation of folks about every that lasts for about and Leo that could have lasted about 3 years, right? Saturn and Leo. You got Saturn and Leo. You got the big boys in Leo. Saturn, Uranus, Pluto, and Mars in Leo. This is an indicator. And if you got those exact same planets in the fifth house. Now, especially Pluto, Mars, and Saturn in the fifth. All right, Uranus, sometimes he causes confusion, but he cool if you're doing what you're supposed to do. Saturn and Mars are called the Malefics, which we call, Minister Jews definitely promoted the planet Mars as the greater Malefic, more Malefic than Saturn, because at least Saturn gives you success. Mars gives you drive. We just give you the hot side and low side of the energy. But what's happening is Mars has set you on fire, man, and he moves much faster than Saturn, so you're going to feel him more in a year than you would Saturn. It takes him 2.5 years on average to move through one zodiac sign. You know how many times Mars has made a circle within that time frame? All right? So Mars is the greater Malefic in our book. Now, that means that if I'm going to just deal with three planets, let's just deal with Saturn, Mars, and Pluto, all right? For them to be born, for those planets to be in the fifth house, every 2 hours a zodiac sign rotates to a different area of space in your chart every 2 hours, all right? Your rising sign, if you're a Sagittarius rising, in 2 more hours approximately, Capricorn will be up on the ascendant. So that means Capricorn now occupies the first house, and then Sagittarius is now up on the 12th house. So every 2 hours, the constellations are shifting. This is why when you hear Minister Jew say God changes his mind at least 12 times a day, he's right, and he does it within every 2 hours, all right, because we're talking about the constellation change. So this also means that to identify karma, if we're dealing with three planets alone, Saturn, Mars, and Pluto, no matter their location, if it takes a sign approximately 2 hours to rotate, that means that since we have three planets, 2 times 3 is 6, there's a 6-hour window with these three planets alone, no matter the location, there's a 6-hour window out of 24 where people are born into this world that have karma with children, because it could be in that soft position called the fifth house, the house of children. So just because you weren't born with these planets in Leo, you need to go check your fifth house, okay? And that'll help you out. All right, let's talk about soul retrieval, the good part, all right? And soul retrieval can be done several ways. And remember this, you are the prime creation of this plane, and your thoughts alone are the most important ingredients to all of your reality. I cannot stress that enough. Prayer, in Islam they call it zikr. It means the constant remembrance of Allah. In Hebrew, Rabbi Yehuda reveals a powerful secret and says, the light of the Creator manifests itself in the direct proportion to a person's degree and certainty in the reality of the Creator. Okay? So your certitude in knowing what your relationship is with the Creator can rectify any problem. You just have to know that. If you go back and you read some of these things I was posting, it talks about doubt, and all of us are born with a certain degree of doubt if God is real. We all born with it. Let's not act like, because, man, you got hit upside the head, and your whole concept of God was told to you by foreigners, foreign invaders at that. And you ain't never even seen God for the most part, and then you have to believe in something for, let's just keep it real, something that's unseen, all right? And there is an unseen reality, but that don't mean that God don't exist. Can you see the electron? Can you see the 7 rays that's inside of sunlight? All right? Can you see things with the naked eye on a microscopic level? That does not mean it does not exist, because you cannot see it. All right? So divine timing is another one. Knowledge of what we call the Masluf, the zodiac. Time helps facilitate healing, the identification and the neutralization of negative rhythms. Very important for you to get the moon calendar. I keep stressing that, because I did a survey on myself, and I can know when the moon is in a certain constellation, I'm going to have an emotional hiccup. I am, and it happens. And then the other days I don't. So I have identified a soft spot and how to correct it. You see what I'm saying? So you got to pay attention to your own personal cosmic biorhythms. All right? Important that you get the moon calendar so you can do that. And the ability, the most important one, is the ability to travel into your own Akashic record, your soul memory, to rectify soul loss. Now, the last point, that right there is the most crucial to your soul's evolution within the Aquarius age of I know. This is where you are to know, and no one else is to solely, keyword is solely, no one else is to solely tell you what you are and who you are. You yourself are a soul spark of God, as I am, as the rabbi, as the astrologer, as the Akashic record reader, as the spiritual guru, and everybody else. You are a fragment of God. So everybody else can't necessarily always totally, you cannot be totally 100% dependent upon someone else telling you you're from Arcturus, somebody telling you that you got a grand fire trine and you're from Sirius. Those are great starting points, but you have to come into the science of the age, which is the age of I know. What are these ages? Aquarius is the age of I know. We're going into Capricorn next if we don't reverse the spin orientation. That would be the age of I use. Sagittarius is I see. Scorpio is I desire. Libra is I balance. Virgo is I analyze. Leo is I will. Cancer is I feel. Gemini is I think. Taurus is I have. Aries is I am, and Pisces is I believe. You're in the age of I know. Know this. Why? Because we said that the commandments and the law that is really given to you is talking about your own body. What is the old axiom? Man, or know thyself. Okay? Know the body. So, very crucial, man. You have to develop the ability to travel within your own database. This is the quickest and most effective method in healing yourself and regaining your soul fragments. All right? I'm going to say it one more time. You're in the age of I know and not someone constantly telling you who you are. Now, I'm going to show you something about the power of the mind, the power of your mind. All right? I'm going to show you. Let me see something real fast. And give me a minute because I ain't go to the break. Give me a quick second, quick second, and I'll be right back. Difficulties and something that I want to do. All right, but again, just to touch where I was at, the ability to travel within your own database, again, is the quickest and most effective method in healing ourselves and regaining your own fragments, man. Very important, man. Because what I'm saying is oftentimes in truth, really all the time, your current situation is really a reflection from a past life incarnation. I gotta start really getting into that quantum, get into that aspect of reality. What you're doing presently is really a mirror of something that you've done in the past. We just posted that today on the Zohar, where it talks about pretty much your physical life. Your physical life carves out your spiritual phenomena, and you got to remember it's as above, so below as well. All right, I give you a story that is said that. A married man once complained to the rabbi about his nagging wife, you know, and she was just tortured to the man's soul. She was just, you know, he couldn't deal with her. And the rabbi told him, basically, man, please know that you were a horrible wife in the past life that caused your husband much pain. And as part of your tikkun means rectification, part of your rectification in this lifetime, this is part of your rectification in this lifetime, and you need to go home and be happy and accept what your wife is doing to you. So the man took the advice of the rabbi, and his trouble stopped. All right? And this is a true story. So when you get to a degree in astrology, you can see the stress points and the good points. Between with yourself first, and then how you interact with other people and what the dynamic of the relationship should be, what the theme is that's taking place. All right. And oftentimes, you know, the family unit, especially the ones of the same blood, are usually the most strenuous connections that you have, and your relationships really don't be good because, you know, it's too much of the same. You know what I mean? That's why you have to pretty much do what? You have to go outside of the home, and you marry, and you build your own family. That's the dynamic, because that energy is too much the same. It's just like when you look at nature and you see things that are born from an egg. Reptiles, right? They will scatter out. They out. They out 5,000. So the egg hatch, right? They gone. You know what I mean? And everything in life becomes an adult. And man shall go into woman and cleave into woman, and she shall cleave into him, and they do their own thing. Because at the core, at the base of the family aspect, this is a very dark, and this is the most darkest place in the chart in astrology is the fourth house. It's the home. It's the family. That's the place in the bottom of the chart at 6 o'clock on the wall clock. 6 o'clock is the fourth house in astrology. They call this the seat of the soul or the seat of the chart. This is your IC in the deer. This is some even say this is the point where you incarnate at through this particular realm right here. It's the darkest part of the name. This is midnight right now in your chart, and this is where it's the absolute darkest hour. Up in this time frame right here, your fourth chart. So it's ancestral. This is ancestral energy. This is home. This is family. All right. So since it's the darkest hour in your physical incarnation, you're looking outside and just observing the sun. So it is with family. Then become the darkest element of our chart. All right, and this area is traditionally ruled by what? Cancer, which is ruled by what? The moon, which rules what? Our emotions and our dreams, you see? So all this stuff is connected to this particular region of space as well. So a thorough understanding of your fourth house shows you what your parental karma is as well, right? So whatever sign is on the fourth house cusp, go find that planet that rules that sign. And look at that, all right? So there's ways, there's a technique that I offer that I'll be bringing out. I'm about to update my astrology coach real soon. I'm feeling good. I'm about to come back and help people out and offer consultations to the public. I'm inching there. I'm getting there. You got to understand that stuff is really draining, especially when you understand that some people really don't want the help. They just want to get a reading because they think that it's cool. And it was astrology, and it's new to my awareness. And let me try this out. You know, when you're exchanging energy, man, see, I'm Cancer rising. I'm extremely sensitive to people. And that's why I look people in the eye. And I'll be tripping like, oh, man, don't be looking, man, listen. I'm not about to let you all up in my soul space. They say the eyes are the window to the soul. Well, what else? You gotta earn a position to look into my soul and me share that with you. I explained that on one of the radio shows. We talk about the power of observation when you're staring at somebody and you feel some type of way, like, damn, what are you looking at? What's she looking at? Yeah, physical fights happen when people stare at people. And you feel some type of way, and that's interesting. The person never physically touched you, but you feel something just based off a look alone because there's power in observation. Quantum physics defined that as wave collapse theory. So the space that exists between you and that person, they collapse that wave by staring at you, and now you can feel their intention. You can feel their energy now. That's what happened. All right? So anyway, I want to give y'all a date. I'm going to give y'all a date. Because remember, we got to get into what is called the Mazalof, which is the zodiac. On November the 30th, the last day of the month, and the first day of December, 12-1, those 2 days, you may use the power of the sun that day to help you with some healing. But you're going to have to filter the light of the sun into your sexual organs. All right? So men, there's something that Mentok Chia talks about called testicle breathing. And for women, there's something called ovarian breath. All right, you want to look into those things or however you want to visualize because the power is in your mind. The sun will be emitting a ray on these 2 days that helps with the heart center of your sexual reproduction organs. So therefore, if you have the luxury of, let's just say, at sunrise, you can be in your private confounds, or hell, if you want to be public, that's your business. And you can allow the light of the sun to directly touch your skin, meaning your naked body. Allow the ray of the light. In this particular case, it's really a red ray that's coming through, a red ray to come into the sexual organ, and then see it as a spiral. As you see the solar system as a spiral, you see it as a spiral of light coming into the organ and then start to spiral upward, filling your body up and down. As a spiral, ultimately spiraling up through your crown chakra and spiraling down through your feet, connecting you to the ground, and this is a red light, but you're using the light of the sun. You're using the spiral red light from that point to feel being filtered through the sexual organ on these two particular days right there. Your Malachim, two energies, two angelic presence, angels that's there. Anytime that you're working with the sun is Raphael. All right, on the angelic side, and also on this particular day, Uriel, which is the light of God, will be present on these two particular days very, very, very strong. And this has everything to do with rejuvenating, the rejuvenation of the sexual organs, which is the organs that really create new life. So it's potentially, and it is, the most powerful organ that you have on your body. So December the 1st and November the 30th, Also, if you can recall any experiences that you felt like were just a gross violation, an injury to you, where you may have lost a part of your soul. I see you, Rashid. I'm coming. Part of your soul. Recall that back and pull. Just see those fragments. See that part of you that was damaged. Allow that to come back through the power of the sun. That is the power of Yah right there. That is the central point of focus in our reality called a solar system, the light of the sun. All right? And here is Adonai Eloha Vadat, which simply translates to my Lord God of knowledge, Malachim Raphael. So you can invoke and call upon those two particular energies, three, because I said Oriel would be around as well at this particular time. We got to get our star signs on, man, and that's what it's ultimately about, all right? I'm going to share, I'm going to let someone share a technique with you because I was going somewhere about the updates on the website because I said the most important way for you to heal yourself is for you to be able to go back and travel in this physical reality, meaning experiences that you have encountered, or travel back into a previous incarnation to gather soul facets that will help in your healing process. So I'm going to let you listen to something right now. So peace. Sister Rashida, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent, man. Excellent, excellent, excellent. I would like you to share a story with us. You don't have to go all along to the long version of it. But in essence, what you were so-called diagnosed with and the experience you had and the experiences that you currently have right now.
Okay, sure. I was diagnosed with asthma as a child, and I had activity-related asthma as a child that I seemed to grow out of as I got older, but then it revisited when I was about 15 years ago, it revisited in a strange, strange way. It was triggered by smoke, maybe any kind of smoke, whether it was from cooking or car exhaust or cigarette smoke was most prominent. And it came in the form of coughing. It was a really, really bad cough, so much so that I wasn't able to talk. And that's why when I was having those attacks initially, I didn't know that it was an asthma attack until one day I was having one and a guy told me that my lips were blue. He said, "You're having an asthma attack. You need to go to emergency." And that's when I found out that I had this weird form of coughing asthma. And through just the technique that you threw me with, I guess it was a regression technique, it caused me to go back and to visit a past life wherein I guess I was able to see the root of that issue which followed me into this life. And I'm happy to say, and I still don't really understand it. I still don't really get it. But when I walk by smokers now, which I do on a daily basis, I have absolutely, positively no response or bodily reaction to it. And I don't understand it, and I really don't get it. But to know that that was something that could not happen in my life before, and to see that I can just not even worry. It doesn't even, like I used to tense up or hold my breath or walk by real fast just to get through it so that I wouldn't have to have a reaction or a response, especially if I didn't have an inhaler or something nearby. And now I walked by to get to a garage on Friday, and there was I was near the Verizon Center, and there was about to be a Capitals game, and there was a lot of people standing out, and there was a lot of people smoking and along this, like, half a block area. So I walked through a whole bunch of pockets of cigarette smokers, and I didn't realize until I got to the door that I didn't even, like, have that tension that I normally would have to it. So it's just not even a concern anymore. not even a concern, no way, shape, or form. So I'm very, very, very happy.
Great, great, great. And, you know, if share with the people, too, the calls from that previous experience of who you saw. How did you see yourself?
Okay. Yeah, well, during the process, I saw myself as a male in the military. I mean, so I'm seeing all of this, and it's kind of strange. But I saw that I was a male in the military, and I was a smoker. And I had witnessed, or I was observing something that was, it was traumatic to me because it was upsetting, but I didn't do anything about it. I watched a woman being violated by one of my superiors in the military, and I didn't do anything about it. And before it happened, I was on some type of post. I had a dog with me, and I was smoking when I came upon this incident. And I didn't do anything about it. And I do through this process that we had gone through, found later that this man that I was in a previous life had passed away from lung cancer and severe, and it was really, really bad to see him at the end of his life in the state mm-hmm. that he was in because of that cancer. So.
Mhm. 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 Great. Excellent. Well, thank you very much. I definitely appreciate it. And that process altogether was about how long? How long did that take?
I don't know. It was less than an hour, I know.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what you're talking about, the process that we
right.
went through? Yeah, it was uh-huh. less than an hour. Mm-hmm. It was less than an hour, I know.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
I mean, less than an hour to have the results that I have today. It just, I mean, if it had taken 10 hours, if it had taken 20 hours, if it had taken 100 hours for how I suffered, I mean, I'm not just talking about cigarette smoke. I couldn't even burn incense in my own house because
mm-hmm.
of that smoke. I couldn't burn sage. I mean, it was just things that I couldn't do that I now can do with no problem.
Mm-hmm. You got it. Yes. Would you care to share how was Heal the Heart? Because I think that played an important role. Just how was Heal the Heart campaign with me and you in early morning? What was your experience like with that?
Oh, it was very good, very, very beneficial. It's one of the things I miss because it would bring a certain level of, I don't know, I want to say balance to my life at the start mm-hmm. of my day that made mm-hmm. my day a lot better. It's something mm-hmm. I miss. I remember when we had stopped that, throughout the day and sometimes early in the morning, I would hear us doing the chant, even though we weren't doing it.
Right.
So
right.
It was something that was sticking to my soul like glue. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that was very good. It was very beneficial.
Cool. Great. Well, thank you much. Let me wrap this up and get on up out of here. And
okay.
Yeah, we'll talk soon. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. You got it. You got it. I'll see you. All right. So what you heard is, again, that's how you have to go into your own quantum Akashic record. You can have a guide. That's what Ampu does. Ampu is the guide of the underworld. He takes the initiate. You yourself must travel this and not rely on a report from someone telling you who you are and what you did. Because if you never see it, you are never, I won't say never, it's going to be harder for you to heal And you may heal, but one thing's for sure, you will not get your tikkun, which is your soul rectification and the whole purpose of coming down here. You won't get that. You'll never grow into that understanding because you ain't see it yourself, all right? And so that's what I'm saying. You see, I'm coming back slowly but surely. We in Scorpio. Eclipse in Scorpio, we're talking about going into the realm of what is perceived to be the dead. In this particular case, she was a soldier who smoked profusely, who died of lung cancer. She was able to pour her name and everything from that experience. Who she was then, died of lung cancer. Immediately upon waking, what happened was instant healing. How did that take place? She don't even know how it happened. How did it take place? Because it was just as it's an engram that is running inside of the soul. See, I'm not knocking nutrition. Lord knows I'm not. You need it. You have to ask yourself, why does a person make the decision to eat things that they know will hurt them? So if my grandmother, she died from diabetes, both of her legs, poosh, gone. Feeling like get out of here, and then she later dies, right? And if I still want to engage on things that create issues for me, that make me fat and blow up, I know that runs in the family. Where is that thought form coming from? The food is just the aftermath, man. That's not the realm. It looks like that's the realm of causation, but you got to go to the realm of where is that thought originating from. That thought is originating from the unconscious aspect of your soul that your conscious mind has not yet recognized. So therefore, when you have any kind of issue, relationship issues, health issues, these are things that most likely are rooted into the soul, all right? And then you have to go back and clear it. So once the conscious mind, that is a true bridging of the left and right brain hemisphere. Once that bridge is created, the energy or that negative imprint goes bye-bye. It was ejected because you can automatically see it. There's case studies on this that people have rashes on their body and literally started to clear up immediately upon the session. I'm just saying, oh, wow, look at that. It was not even like that no more and totally gone because the mind is the true power of God. That's what the mind is. It is God. That's the God force in you to be able to see that reality, but it's a veil that's there. So you need someone that's skilled enough to be able to take you through that threshold, all right? So be on the lookout for some things. I call it Mac art because some things that I do is very different, not unique. I'm an Aquarius, of course. It's got to be something different. Mac art is just strictly my astrology coach advanced relaxation technique that I do to help people out when I feel when my spirit tells me that I can connect with this person and I believe I can help this person. This is not something that I even advertise. I did it today because it's just the season because of the eclipse and the climate is right to really delve and talk about the power of the human soul. All right? So again, a lot of these things take place on a soul level. I'm going to take a couple calls. I only got a few minutes. I'm going to take a couple calls, man, and then I got to help my web designer out and keep my word. So the prime minister, you on, man. What's happening?
What's popping, man? What a phenomenal show, bro.
Oh, man, thank you.
Phenomenal show. Much love to that sister that came on and demonstrated that, man. That was outstanding, bro. Got to commend both of y'all for that work, man.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you. If I left people hanging, when I say heal the heart, that was something. It's a free MP3 that I have on the website. You can get it. And it's a practice that we did every single morning for a certain period of time when I saw us up the heavens, where we both had rose quartz in our hand and we were doing rose quartz over the heart. Man, I became extremely sensitive, too, man. I think it was a day I was about to cry or something. And, you know, when you start working with the heart chamber, and it's interesting she used the word balance. Because the fourth chakra, the heart, sits in the middle of all seven. So when you look at the number four, you got three below and then you got three above. So it is the true balancing point. It is the fulcrum of your energetic scale in your body, the heart chamber. All right, very important to understand that. So it's interesting you use that term because that's really what was taking place. But we were able to connect first. We did heal the heart was first. It was a technique that we used, you know, to connect on a heart level, and then eventually went into the science of the mind. So the Egyptians taught, what do Anpu do? He puts the scale, he puts the feather in the heart, right? He puts the heart up against the feather on the scale, the feather symbolizing thoughts. So the mystics always say your soul resides in your heart. So, you know, your actions, your heart has to reflect your, have to be as light as a feather, meaning you have to have righteous thoughts. So you got to connect through the heart chamber. And I'm going to get into that. The heart chamber is feminine. The mental chamber is masculine. So when we start, and I put a little post out there today, when we start talking about what I want, and I need to feel this from a woman, I need to feel. Not that you're not supposed to feel, but I want you to understand, or more or less, I see she ain't on my level, this mental aspect thing. There's a different component that's there now that I'm starting to come into a realization of which one is more important, the brain or the heart. Neither. Without either function, you ain't doing too much of nothing. All right, you can be brain dead and your heart is still beating, but you ain't doing too much of nothing. You're probably way off in the spirit world. Your heart start beating. You're definitely going to be in the spirit world. But one is masculine, one is feminine. We need to understand these two particular chambers and how to effectively deal with them in the healing process. All right, we don't have to do a 30, 40, 60-day detox in order for the healing to be. You can. That's one method. I'm not knocking that. I'm saying you need to come to the true understanding for your soul rectification. That's the key for your own soul's rectification to continue this journey and spiral through the evolution. But go ahead, Prime Minister.
Yeah, man. Interesting, man. You're talking about the soul, man. And all this week, man, really for the last 30 days, what I've been focusing on is the soul. I think maybe later this week I might get into the soulmate thing, man. And you know, delving it from my perspective and philosophy on what that denotes. You broke it down today, man, on an individual level about the fragments of the soul and how to retrieve them. And, you know, I kind of want to build on that a little further and take it into the dynamic of two people coming together on a soul level. And, from what I've seen, man, from my studies and utilizing my own mind to understand this reality, I don't know so much if it's a soulmate thing. You know, God or the Most High has a way of showing you the dynamics of spirit through the dynamics of physicality. And you're able to understand some of the more loftier, pristine principles of spirit by looking at the correspondences of the physical. So when you think of soulmates or twin flames or twin souls, you naturally have to go to the phenomenon of twinning or having a set of twins. And it's interesting because and when we think soulmates, we immediately think female, male, opposite sex. And this is not as homosexual. I'm talking about strict levels of spirituality, getting back to the Godhead. Because when you're thinking on the lower levels, you're obviously going to think of sex, but that's the lowest plane to get back to the Godhead. So when you get past that, you will realize that there are people in your life that may not necessarily be of the opposite sex, who are vibrating on the same rate or the same plane as you are, i.e. soul families and soul groups, that resonate on higher frequencies, you know, past the instinctual level and the physical level, where you start to build your soul fragments together to get back to the Godhead. So when you look at twins, and you're looking at fraternal or dizygotic or identical monozygotic twins, you cannot have identical twins because remember we're talking twin souls, so we try to stay as close to identical as possible. You cannot have identical female and male twins. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
You could have, the process goes when the sperm hits the egg cell, either it splits or the sperm cell germinates two separate eggs. So the identical fraction would be when one sperm hits one egg and then that egg splits. But in that case, it's either always going to be female, female, or male, male, because it was only one sperm cell that germinated the egg. Mm-hmm. It was either X chromosome or Y chromosome. You see? So, you know, I'm going to get into it a little bit deeper, man, to get into the understanding of I'm labeling it light mates more so than soul mates, because when you get on this tree, man, the soul, you don't come into the soul until you get to Far, which is the house of the souls, or the house of the soul. So at that point, it's nothing but pure spirit and light. Now you talked about Yesod, or the foundation, right? And when you read to the esoteric literature, they talk about this being the astral plane, or your etheric double, like twin or mate, mm-hmm. right? This is where the process of the splitting of the soul takes place. It doesn't happen until it gets to Yesod. You see, and it comes down through this channel known as Semek, when the light, right? Because that's what happens when you're in the sexual act. The light or the sperm from the man hits the egg cell and then causes the phenomenon to take place. So mm-hmm. so the soulmate frequency is not happening, if at all, until it gets to the realm or the sphere of Yesod. And then it permeates down into this world. So we have to look at Semek. We have to look at this path. We have to say, okay, we've got Sagittarius here. But it's no coincidence that Sag is noted or notated as it is the center, right, or the middle, i.e. the woman's body. You know, but I got to get in that middle, right? It's the mm-hmm. middle or the center of this particular galaxy where there is a bunch of nebula, mm-hmm. a bunch of nebula in our solar system that is a warehouse of untapped energy that forms other stars or other souls into this reality. And how does that happen? It is formed by a supernova explosions, and that's what happens when a man is having an orgasm. That's an explosion. So we're going to talk about, you know, getting into this soul thing and what region of space this phenomenon of twinning or souling takes place, you see, and get a firm understanding of, this soulmate thing and how it actually really comes into existence, you know what I mean? And so I'm going to say that, man, for next week and really build on this soul thing and this soulmate thing and take it to another level of understanding. Mm-hmm. on how we can build and become and walk in the same ray of light.
Right.
Not necessarily the same soul, because the soul is the embodiment for the light to permeate in of God to have an experience as an individual or as a persona. You see? So it is you're walking in the same ray of light when we're talking about soul mating. You're actually saying we are from the same light,
right?
You see, and then when you're building on the twins that are not identical, like this is where you can get a female and or a male, but then you have to look at the forensics on the science of fingerprints, right? You have to look at the science of fingerprints because this denotes how you identify, right? So what happens is on a ray of light, what I'm expressing here is that people who are walking in the same mode or in the same or studying the same literature or have the same morals and characteristics to themselves, these are people who are considered to be inside of your same ray of light, even though you may not be identical to this person soul-wise. As I'm here to tell you, nobody shares the same soul. You may share the same light, but you don't share the same soul. And what happens is, because your soul, i.e. the egg that has been generated by the sperm, was penetrated by the same ray of light, you see, gives you and enables you to have this a similar reality down here. So when you meet each other on this physical plane, you have the same characteristics of light, which enhances both of your souls to get back to the same point because you're functioning from the same ray.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's paramount, man, that we understand it. And know this, your light mate, or what you have been calling your soul mate, they're in the same neighborhood, same city, same town you're in, and they're right up under your nose. You just don't know. You don't have to really look far for them if they are even in this current incarnation of evolution with you, because your light mate or your soul mate does not have to be on this planet with you in order to get you back to the Godhead. And this is where the work of the ascended masters takes place. When you start to have these phenomenal experiences where this energy is permeated back through that same ray of light into your consciousness called your brain, and then you start to have these mystical, phenomenal experiences, and you're wondering where they're coming from. They're coming from your light mate on the other side, in the invisible realms, that is giving you the cognition to get back to the Godhead while you're in the physical body. This is the science. You see, mm-hmm. and it's a passage in the biblical scriptures that touches on this. You see,
mm-hmm.
so when you understand the science of the fingerprint and how the babies, the fingerprints are generated, they say that no two are the same, which is how I know that nobody shares the identical soul, because you have to find it back here in the physical correspondence to understand God's mind. But what does happen, they can become very similar to one another if both those egg cells inhabit the same area in the woman's reproductive organs while the baby is being grown in the womb of the woman. So if those two egg cells are on the same side or in the same region where they're being developed, then the fingerprints of the baby will be similar, very close, but not identical. This is how I know we're dealing with space, even inside the womb. You're dealing with space orientation. So if your soulmate or your light mate is anywhere, has incarnated in this lifetime, they're in the same region that you're in, because that's the science on how they develop in the womb. So it has to be the same thing in all spheres of reality, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to commend you, Noble Man, for even opening this subject matter up to teach on this, man, you know what I mean? And you was building on this Scorpio thing, Scorpio Mars, fire dealing with death and judgment. And the whole nine, and it's interesting because he's talking about the lower aspects of the nefesh, where it's you're basically saying you're going to regenerate into a physical body in order to get judgment from God. That's what it is.
Right.
That's what the nefesh, the lower aspects of the soul. I'm going to regenerate into a physical body, i.e. incarnation, Mars, right, first house, physical body, judgment or light, shin, fire, in order to receive the judgment from God. So in order for you to climb up the ladder of evolution where you can get out of an incarnation stage, you have to come through a physical body to be judged on the lowest level of light in order to even start your ascension process. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's what it is, mm-hmm. man. I thank you, man, for, hey, man, touching on the subject matter, man, and really,
oh,
really
man.
Trying to...
It's on.
Yep.
It's on. Thursday. What we on? Thursday? Thursday at what, 9 o'clock?
I got to set the show, man, but We're going to build on it, man. We got, I got so much work to do, man.
Hey, I got work to do, man.
This guy here acts as a spark, man.
Look, Thursday, stay by y'all email if y'all ain't on the mailing list, man. Join the mailing list, myastrologycoach.com. Scroll down on the right-hand side, enter your information in, man. That way you'll know the prime minister going to set this show and set the record straight. That's interesting. He's saying there's no such thing as soulmates in the technical aspect of it, which that's why they, I don't know, was that two shows ago, maybe one show ago, we talked about the angles of light. Mel was talking about that walking in the angles of light and understanding no matter who your relationship is, to your daughter, to your son, your mama, you need to understand the degree of light in which a person operates in space, that space orientation that the minister was talking about, so you can understand the angle of light that you and that person will walk through. You said some phenomenal things. I'm going to open up the lines. I do got to ask you a question. I'm going to make one comment and then a question. The comment is, when you talk about how the light descends from Tepharis down to Yesed, when these souls come together, that's interesting because the priest decided to use the temperance card, which is known as the Holy Guardian Angel card that oversees this process. And there is an angel name that we're not even familiar with. A lot of people not familiar with this particular angel name that oversees this process. So I'm going to hold on to that one. But that's interesting. But you mentioned the male orgasm being a supernova. The question is, before I open up the line, what is the female orgasm to you?
Well, here's the thing. It's obviously acting in a similar vein because they're having the same expression, you know what I mean, where they're imploding from inside out, you know what I mean? The only difference is that the life force is being, one is having something come out and another one is having something that's happening internally. So they're both supernovas, just of a different function, you know what I mean? So I guess what I'm trying to say is that the light from the man acting as the principle to ignite the nebula, shall we say? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or the ovary from the woman in order to produce an image, because that's what Samech is. It is to produce an image. So this is why when these nebulas are there and this implosion of light takes place, they spit out planets, and they spit out comets, and they spit out asteroids. It's like I don't want to use spit out a baby, but they birth a child. You know what I mean? So it's a two-step function. You know what I mean? And I always talk about light in this sense. It is the only element in which it's really, literally magical in a sense, because you really don't understand its origin. You know what I mean? Or how it is brought into this reality. It comes from nothing into something. You know what I mean? We see water. You can contain water. You know what I mean? You can contain earth. You can walk on earth. You know you're breathing air even though you can't see it. But this fire element literally is from a whole nother dimension, man. So once that spark takes place, you know what I mean, from the unseen, right, which you may never see with your physical eye, but you know that it exists. You know what I mean? Once that spark touches the other spark or the female egg in this case, then life is brought into existence. You know what I mean?
Right.
So on another note, we want to focus on you know, they have all these mythologies where they talk about these other planets coming into existence in a certain prophecy when things get this way and that way. And if you can do it with because they're saying fire and light, which is your mind, which is your thoughts, and we've already been showing people how to get down on these activations, but we focus our energy on particular bodies to make events happen. What happens when we focus our mind and our thoughts on undeveloped nebula?
Mm-hmm. It creates stars. At least.
Thank you.
At the bare minimum. Stay right there. I'm opening up a few, man. It's Sunday. You know, I got Sunday duties to do. 817-818, you there, 301, we come to you. I think 216, we come to you next. 817, what's happening?
Peace to the gods. How you doing?
What's happening?
Peace.
Nothing. Peace, Jill. What's going on as well?
Hey, what's happening?
Nothing much. You know you came down my lane. You know you seen my hand up over here for a minute, Noble. But no, wonderful, wonderful show. And peace to Sister Rashida. It was good to hear her testimony on the air. But yeah, like I said, this is definitely up my lane. If you know, we look at what we do over here at Ra Healing Arts. And so it was beneficial for me to hear you explain, you know, this phenomena on the cosmic level, because, you know, the work that we do here is all about what you do to retrieve a soul on a personal level. And, you mentioned the past life work, and we've got a program with you and our partner where we do the MAC art technique. And it's funny, though, that you mentioned the whole soul loss phenomena, because really, if you think about it, it occurs so much more commonly than we really, really give it credit to. And it's actually like, you know, that's the original wound that we suffer when we physically incarnate. That's the earliest wound that you could ever experience in a physical incarnation, because it occurs in the womb. So if you think about the aspect of a fetus being in the womb and it receives all its nourishment from the mother's heart, from the umbilical cord. And if there's anything that happens to disturb that flow of harmonic and nurturing energy, so let's just say you're in the womb and your mother, it's an unwanted pregnancy, or your mother experiences some kind of trauma on the outside that causes that heart energy to shut off, as a baby that is totally vulnerable and unprotected, your only defense is to leave the physical body. That's what your soul inherently does. It's your first defense. And so, you know, that sets itself up physically, you know, as we mature. You know, people that have suffered their womb more than others, you know, that becomes their natural defense as an adult. And so you then do see those people that black out, or that turn to drugs so that they have this, you know, this means of escaping the physical body. So soul retrieval, I mean, is a very, very important aspect of healing. And, you know, what we do with the energy work and with the MAC art is about, you know, not only retrieving those aspects that were lost in the past life, like in the case of Sister Rashida, but also the ones that have been lost in this physical incarnation. So just, you know, I just thank you. Thank you for opening that topic up. And, you know, I can't encourage people enough to just find someone that does this type of healing work, because not only is it essential to you personally, it is essential to the overall evolution of this planet. We got to reach critical mass, and this is the only way to do it, is to retrieve those lost soul fragments so that we individually will be more whole and thus contribute to the retrieval of the general cosmos. So I appreciate it. Okay,
no,
you know, I could go on.
give us the website and when it's going to be available.
Okay, so she promised me this week, but you've seen it. It looks great. It should be ready this week. Give me to the end of the week. I'll let you make an announcement when it's officially ready, but it's www.rahealingarts.com. In the meantime, if you have any questions and want to speak to me personally, I can be reached at ra@solarpower111.com. I think that's it.
That's a very smart move. We're in a retrograde. But, no, that's time to redo some things. So that's what's up. I did see it. I was privy enough to get an inside glimpse into it. So about to blow y'all socks off, ladies and gentlemen. It's about to be very, very it's about to be very enlightening around here. But thank you, man. I'm gonna take this 216. I got to get to the store, man. I'm like 30 minutes late, man. I'm supposed to be helping Tavana out. Caller from the 216-280. I think we're going up to Cleveland.
Yes, peace to the God. I'm through. Peace.
Hey, what's happening?
Peace to you and peace to the Prime Minister as well. This is a tremendous show. I have really been enjoying the show today and the information as well. The reason why I called in today, I've been listening, of course, but I got in the queue because I have a question. I was awakened this morning out of a dream at about 8:30, and the reason why I would like to ask the question, I was traveling on a public transportation bus, city bus, and when I got off the bus, I looked up and I saw the number 11. Any idea? I know you are pretty good at deciphering numbers and also some dreams. Do you have any idea what that symbol might have been telling me? Is it from the spirit? Is it something I need to work on? I've just been wondering.
I let the Prime Minister handle that. He got the email June 11-11.
Right. all right. Well, it's interesting. And I'm working on a book actually now, and that's actually the first chapter of the book, this 11 phenomenon. Well, you were on a train and transportation, so you're dealing with a Mercury influence, which is the messenger guy. You know what I mean? So it's saying that you're on a path or you're traveling on a train, traveling on the path, and the messenger god or the messenger gods are trying to communicate with you. And you looked up in the sky, so obviously that's the heavens, that's the most high, that's the heavenly abode. And you saw the number 11. Now, 11, I'm sure it means a lot of things for a lot of people. Everybody knows it's a master number. You can read that anywhere. But for me, and I can only tell you my experiences, because I don't want you to feel like mine's are yours, but I'm going to tell you what I got from it for the last 10 years of my life, is that it is a grand, that number is a grand, and I mean a grand, initiation into the mysteries of God's mind. And it means it is the, what does the Kabbalah say on this? It says that it is the special fire or light of the sacred magic of life and love. You know what I mean? So when you see that number repeatedly, that means you're in the presence of love, you're in the presence of light, and you're in the presence of mystery of God's mind, and it's about to bestow on you some of the mysteries that exist on and off this planet as it pertains to creation. And basically on the train, it's telling you to stay on your track, stay on your path, and the more that you focus your mind on God, and I can't say this enough to the listeners out there, that's the only prerequisite that I actually have ever in life, is to keep your mind focused on God above all other things. You know what I mean? And you know, a lot of people, you know, people are religious, and I understand that, because a lot of these scriptures are highly potent with a lot of mystery. But when you start to get into the esoteric side of things and start to understand what these numbers and these scriptures mean, the further you go into in depth into the study of God, past just the surface stuff, the more amazing your life will become with the personal experiences that you have and that only you can validate as a mystical experience. So for you, I would say, it's telling you to stay on your path, you know what I mean? Because
yeah.
God is about to exhibit the mysteries that it has for you to understand in this present incarnation, that your soul needs to understand and develop so that you can continue to grow and get back to that omnipotent force, that omnipotent light and love. So that's the best explanation I can give you from my perspective and how it has, how I've embodied that number and what it represents to me.
Right.
Well,
right.
I am very grateful for your insight, because as soon as I looked up and I saw the number, then my daughter came out of nowhere. Her eyes were closed, and she ran to me and she hugged me. And, you know, before I got off the bus anyway, the bus driver spoke about how she lost her job in 2001 and that she didn't want to lose this job. And she spoke about how God blessed her to have this job. And I just thought that it was so interesting that, you know, when I got off the bus, I looked up, I saw the numbers, and then my daughter ran to my arms out of nowhere. So I really believe that this is amazing that you deciphered it the way you did. There is a deeper meaning to it, and I am so grateful that you touched on the path that I should stay on the path and keep my mind on God, because that is something that I've been really working on for the past few months.
Mm-hmm. And one more thing, you said she was talking about work, which is the sixth house influence, which is opposite the 12th house, which is the house of God. So in essence, it's saying do God's work and he will bless you, because she talking about lost her job. So it's saying do God's work, be about God's will, and then you'll be able to pierce the veil some of the mysteries that exist, you know what I mean, in that lofty place, heaven. So you know, and that obviously will make the people around you joyful, happy, because your daughter came to you and hugged you. So doing God's work will make other people close to you happy. It will bring blessings into your life, this type of thing. So that's the best interpretation that I can give from.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Ampu, and thank you for the show.
Yeah, you got it. Indeed, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. All right, man, I'm behind. A caller from the 337-940-707-616 and 901-502. Y'all the only three that got your hand up, but I got to roll. If it's like that, if you need to holler at Jew, you can email him at Jew, J-U-11, the word, then the number 11, Jew1111 at Gmail. You need to get at me. You can hit me at NobleAmpu@gmail. You can go to My Astrology Coach, hit the contact page, and you can call that number on there, and you can ring us if you need be. But we're going to set this show. I'm going to push the Prime Minister, since he's coming over here and telling the world that there ain't no such thing as soulmate. He's going to have to drop this on this upcoming Thursday. So if you call in on Thursday, I got y'all numbers written down, 337-940-707-616 and 901-502. Promise to take y'all calls first, because I do see you here in the queue. I just had to take care of some other business, Sunday grocery shopping, things like that. Things got to get done as well. Visit the website, myastrologycoach.com. Click on events. Click on the events tab. Like I said, we got the Big Easy Magic Tour coming up for the spring equinox. Just be on the lookout for a lot of stuff, man. The best thing is just join the mailing list if you're not on the mailing list already. And I'll let the Prime Minister close us out with his magnificent event coming up in May.
Man, the Cognitive Mapping Tour coming up in May. Y'all don't want to miss it. Noble already kind of went through the logistics of it. We're just going to get down there, do some visualization, and do some materialization all at the same time. Merge the unseen and thought and imagination with actually seeing these things in the physical reality. And we're going to draw them down and do a diamond meditation down on one of the mounds in the Atlanta area. So stay on the website and check for that. And last but not least, man, I want to send out all my love. It's for me, from the Mac family, Noble, Keisha, everybody that's down with us, man. Shout out to the Toil Love for our members, man. We appreciate y'all. Everybody in the fund is appreciative of everybody else in the fund. Get to the website. Join that program, man. It's a wonderful program, a wonderful humanitarian. It shows philanthropy at its finest, man. So that's what we into, man. We're about growing, developing, and moving to a different plateau, so that we can teach at a different level where people really need it. But get to the website, man, and join the Toil Love Fund, man. And all the members, man, check any members now that's listening, Check your emails. I just sent out the audio testimonials from the people that got their payouts over the last 2 months because they want to show their gratitude and they want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for helping facilitate such a wonderful fund, man. And with that, man, peace.
That's what it is. Visit the website, resolution444.com. And thank you, Cassandra sent me an inbox. Check CNN. I mentioned something about the birds, and she dropped me a link. It's something on CNN right now talking about gangster birds, pigeons, vultures, and everything else, ravens and things like that. But I'm looking for something to pop up on another scale, but that's a start. That's to show you what we're working with, man. So it's there already today. All right, if you see anything dealing with a raven, birds, anything like that, please hit us up. I'm looking for this to manifest anywhere from now. The apex day is November the 15th. Join that mailing list. And again, man, stay with us. I think the Prime Minister will be on this Thursday at 9 p.m. East Coast time. So with that, man, peace.